Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. On the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he was falsely accused, but his accusers could not find the right evidence that would hold up in court. People kept disagreeing with what Jesus had said. He had angered them, sure. He had exposed their hypocrisy, absolutely. Reinterpreted the Old Testament scripture in ways that they did not even think was possible, granted. But he had committed no crime. The next morning, Pilate, the Roman governor, reached that exact same conclusion. Jesus had done nothing wrong, at least nothing deserving of death. So he resolved just to let Jesus go, to pass over this indecent incident and move on, essentially to write Jesus a pass. No harm, no foul. But Jesus' accusers, the Jewish leaders, would not settle for that. They would not pass over the indignity that they felt towards this man Jesus called the Christ. Jesus would not get a pass. He would not be passed over. After all of us who have been baptized into Christ also stand accused. But through Jesus's victory, the Lord does not permit those accusations to stand. He found a way for us to be passed over. Now, generally, we don't like being passed over. But I'm telling you, being passed over is an abounding gift from God. What's more, we are continually kept in this Passover state by the blessed will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he does here tonight that we do in remembrance of him. The last thing our sin will have is for us to be passed over. The word of the Lord declares it. The law declares it. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. Death is sometimes in Scripture represented as a personified monster or some false king. It hunts us down. It demands that we be held accountable for what we have done. There is no escaping the law. No one is passed over. Death hunts every single one of us, and death is justifiable because the wages of sin is death. The world then also joins in that accusation. You're not half the employee she is. You're not half the father that you're supposed to be. You're not committed enough to save the planet. If you were a real Christian, you would feel this way about this thing, whether it be abortion or immigration or drugs or 100 other things that people are trying to talk you into. Finally, the devil continues these accusations against us. He slanders us, he lies at us and to us, saying that you can't really be forgiven. Not for that. Little sins, of course. Anybody can overlook the little sins, but you're not really a little sinner, are you? God told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. It's a bridge too far for you. And all too often in our sinful weakness, we're liable to believe him. Luke, however, recalls how Jesus flips this script. Then came the day of unleavened bread. Luke has a keen sense of the dramatic. Everything changes here. He who is the least and the greatest of the lambs is about to be sacrificed. The holy Passover is upon us, the Lamb of God, of whom God has finally sent to be that last, final sacrifice, is now here. in the very remembrance of the Exodus, in this Passover meal, God makes this new plan apparent to everyone. Because the Lord takes initiative, as he always has. He knows that we cannot save ourselves, not from the accusations of sin, not from the acknowledgement of our own guilt. And so he prepares for us this holy and precious meal, this rock-solid covenant against sin, against the accusations of the world, against the devil himself, who only wants to see your downfall and destruction. Jesus, the sinless man of God, takes our place, permits himself to be betrayed by Judas. He is arrested. He is forced away under a mob, condemned illegally, crucified to die a death that he didn't deserve. Usually we don't like being passed over. We don't like being passed over for promotions, being ignored by our friends, losing out on the affection that we desire, being left off the guest list. Usually it hurts to be passed over. But how painful was it for Jesus to not be passed over? One among his closest of allies, one of his very disciples, betrays him in the garden with a kiss. And it was this very Judas who left the upper room before the sacrament was even to be instituted. But Judas was not the only one who was going to contribute to the Lord not being passed over this night. Instead of watching with him in prayer like good disciples, they're just off sleeping. They can't even keep their eyes open for an hour. Three times he goes back to him. You can't even watch with me an hour? When the time of the cross came, he would cry out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But before Good Friday comes, Maundy Thursday. Maundatum. And already on this night, the Lord is saving his disciples, sharing with them a victory they've not even thought of yet. In celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he took them back to the very first Passover. They were rehearsing once again what had occurred in Egypt 15 centuries before. God's final plague on the nation of the Egyptians that long last brought them out of slavery. The Israelites' household each were to sacrifice a lamb for their meal. The blood saved, splattered across the doorpost and the lintels. That night, the angel of death will kill the firstborn in every Egyptian household, but not the Israelite households, not where the blood of the lamb in faith is spilt. In that, they'll be passed over. That blood was already powerful. I mean, even in the Old Testament, that blood is already powerful, that already has the power to save, and that blood covered their condemnation and death, and even so, it was just temporary. Jesus knew there was more to come. He did something to make atonement permanent. That every Passover meal, several cups of wine were shared around the table. This night, Jesus takes the cup. After the dinner, the third cup, called the cup of redemption, and he says, "This cup is poured out for you, is a new covenant in my blood. This wine is so now also a way that his redemption would be made real to us and that we would receive this blood." This cup, this promise, in Hebrew it was called berith. It's a covenant. In the New Testament, we call it diatheke. It unites the believing people in, with, and under the blood of Christ Jesus. The blood that very next day would be the atoning sacrifice, not just for the sins of the nation of Israel, but for the sins of all who put their faith in this Christ. With such a last will and testament, Christ's words, God's words, can never fail. God's word is absolute. God's word is enduring. God's word is always true. A new status now marks the baptized Christians. We are passed over from judgment and condemnation into life and salvation. We've entered a new status. By God's grace, his steadfast promise poured out for you. Once sin and the world and the devil insisted that you could not be passed over. Certainly not faced with the great shame and the great guilt and the great despair of the things that you had done. Now Jesus becomes sin for us. Now Jesus becomes that curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And by faith in him, that spiritual attack, that curse that could never be passed over, because his, and it's not ours, so that we be passed over, so that he would not be. Love and mercy, a new Passover, is consistently and constantly received by the church. For we are a new creation. His blood of the covenant runs through us. It came, of course, at an unimaginable cost and pain and suffering and a loneliness and abandonment that he feels from the garden prayer all the way through to the resurrection. Even so, our Lord gives us this gracious command, a mandate, a mandatum. Do this. Our Lord knew exactly what we poor sinners needed, that we needed this constantly throughout our lives, constantly to be reminded, constantly to participate in this wonderful sacrament, that we might know for sure that we have indeed been passed over from bondage to sin into death into life. This new Passover, this Lord's Supper is yours. God set it out for you. And it's not the last one either. As he promises, we have an eternal banquet yet to come. And just like that first Passover was a shadow of greater things yet to come, so too is this still very real, but a shadow of that banquet that the Lord God has promised to give all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Life everlasting in the kingdom of his Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even on a night which was so terrible, gave us the best gift we could have ever received. And he merely asks us to participate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.